Do you remember Wayfair? A few years ago, this company was everywhere. You could buy every piece of furniture you could imagine and at great prices. Yet, Wayfair didn't make furniture. They don't stock it either or have retail stores. Nonetheless, in 2020, their share price went vertical to over $300. Then, it collapsed. A 90% fall, and now their customers are turning on them. How did one of the biggest furniture stores collapse overnight? What happened to Wayfair? So, what is this company really? They're a furniture company, but also not? Think of it like this. Wayfair is essentially Wish.com for furniture. Instead of buying inventory, storing products, or dealing with the messy logistics of actually owning stuff, Wayfair went completely asset-light. They built a platform with 18 million products and zero inventory. How does this work? Simple. Wayfair connected customers directly to manufacturers, took a cut from every transaction, and let someone else handle quality control and customer service, a glorified middleman. It was the perfect business model. Fulfillment without the burden. No logistics, no supply chain, no shipping, no manufacturing, and the numbers were staggering. Wayfair exploded from $1 billion to $14 billion in revenue in under a decade. Their customer base grew from 11 million to 24 million active users. They were adding thousands of new products daily, partnering with manufacturers across the globe, and their "A Zillion Things Home" slogan wasn't far from the truth. With many retailers, you might have to shop around for what you want, even for something common like a dark wood coffee table. This was partly because many retailers actually had furniture on display, in warehouses or on back order. Wayfair was different. It offered any furniture from anywhere, common household items, niche pieces, everything in one place. This was rare. You didn't need to shop around because you were browsing the catalogs of manufacturers, 11,000 of them too, and most of it was extremely cheap. Since Wayfair worked with so many suppliers and didn't have heavy overhead costs like warehousing or retail stores, they could undercut everyone else. But all of this came with a major downside, which customers would discover when their orders finally arrived. For now though, Wayfair's margins looked incredible on paper because they weren't actually buying anything. They were just facilitating transactions and taking a percentage, and it only got better from here. When people were stuck at home during the pandemic with nothing to do, many wanted to stay busy. The urge to redecorate the place you were stuck in 24/7 was appealing. But traditional furniture stores were closed, so customers turned to Wayfair. Revenue began to skyrocket. Revenue doubled between 2018 and 2020, reaching about $20 billion. Their stock price passed $300 a share in March 2021, up from just $50 a year earlier, growth of 490%. Wayfair was now worth $35 billion. Everything was going great, they had made it. But behind the hype, those quality problems were quietly multiplying. Wayfair could only ignore them for so long. Many of the orders were nothing like the listing, missing pieces, or fell apart after a few months. I purchased a sofa more than 2 weeks ago through the Wayfair website. I received part of the order a week ago and got a note the same day that the other part will be delivered the following day. A week is gone and I have not received the other part of my order yet. Have never experienced such a low quality of customer service.
I got these two major tears in them. Tore here and tore the two cushions apart.
Received a dresser that was made of cardboard. Dresser drawers did not fit, it splintered and fell apart. This is if the order arrived at all. I ordered a bathroom vanity over 1 month ago, and when it finally arrived, it was the wrong countertop. They could not replace just the top, so they had to send a new one. I was told because it took so long the first time, they would fast track the new item. 3 weeks later, I'm still waiting. Some customers watched as their delivery was canceled 4 times or more. Within the last week, my delivery has been canceled twice with no explanation. The phone number they gave me to call is just a voicemail box and no human. I cannot speak to anyone nor get my money back. If you get what you paid for, you got lucky. And what was possibly worse than a bad order was dealing with customer service. Return shipping costs are deducted from refunds even on defective or misrepresented items. Buyers who received, say, a shattered mirror or the wrong color towels were told they had to pay $50 or $100 plus out of pocket just to send the item back. Wayfair had become the Temu of home goods. I ordered a 30-inch bathroom sink with a cabinet. My order clearly reads 24-inch. Not only did they send the wrong size, the product was totally defective, and if that's not bad enough, they want me to pay for shipping it back and are deducting it from my refund. Not to mention, to even do so, you often have to disassemble your piece of furniture, which if you've ever assembled a cabinet before, you know is very difficult. That's if Wayfair even dealt with you directly. Often they would just forward you to the manufacturer directly. Customers described dealing with Wayfair's customer service as negotiating with loan sharks who disappear the moment they got your money. Wayfair realized the bad reviews were stacking up. Wayfair had created a review system that was fundamentally broken and designed to mislead customers. But why would Wayfair do this? Surely this is bad for business, right? Well, Wayfair was focused on one thing: short-term growth. Ironing out customer service, quality control, returns, product inspections, and much more slows things down. Instead, it's easier to grow fast and to keep acquiring new customers faster than you lose existing ones. At least, that's what Wayfair likely thought. Things began to turn for the worse. In particular, three factors caused the fall of Wayfair. The first was the cost of that growth. Wayfair did make a lot of profit in 2020, $210 million. But that was their only profitable year ever. In 2018, they lost $500 million, and in 2019, that ballooned to a $980 million loss. Wayfair was chasing scale and growth like many e-commerce companies, and they also chased it with debt. This was modest through most of the 2010s, but as they began to scale and chase growth in the pandemic, it grew to over $4 billion. This was particularly worrying as, aside from 2020, they weren't making any money. And this wasn't helped by the second factor. Their customers had had enough. By 2022, the consequences of Wayfair's business model became impossible to ignore. On Trustpilot, Wayfair has a 1.4 out of 5 stars across over 5,000 reviews. The customer backlash that had been building for years reached critical mass on social media. TikTok and Twitter became platforms for detailed customer complaints, with users posting videos of defective or broken furniture. Many were leaving and ensuring no one else made the same mistake as them. Active customers in Q4 2022 were down 19%, repeat customers were down 7.6%, and orders delivered were down 9.1%. But this was only Wayfair's second problem. The next factor only compounded things. You see, Wayfair was cheap compared to some in-store retailers, but it wasn't that much cheaper. Their model allowed suppliers to bear the costs while Wayfair retained high gross margins. But after a while, people began to notice something odd.
The Europa storage ottoman, the Isabella storage ottoman, or the Billy Bob storage ottoman. Do I want the Billy Bob for $629 or do I want the Indiri for $1,000? You tell me.
This wasn't just for comparable products. This was for the same products. What's going on? Wayfair is something called a white label retailer. Most, if not all, of their products are given to many retailers, who each give it a new, different name. Customers began reverse image searching items from Wayfair and finding them on Amazon or Walmart for cheaper. For example, a product called Mylaya 29 Table Lamp for $127.99. But a quick image search reveals it's actually called Ollie 29 Table Lamp, and on Walmart, Amazon, and Overstock, it's only $105.59. In fact, Wayfair is more expensive on identical products nearly 80% of the time. Occasionally, Wayfair does have it cheaper, but not often. Customers began switching to competitors for better prices. You might be thinking, okay, so what? Companies have different margins. What if people like shopping on Wayfair? And that's fair, but that's the other issue. if you're already paying more and have more risk of getting the wrong item and likely have to deal with bad customer service, why use Wayfair in the first place? Wayfair's stock price, which had peaked above $300 per share during the pandemic, crashed, over a 90% decline. Tens of billions in shareholder value were wiped out. Revenue, aside from a small dip, has flattened out, but their earnings haven't. After their earnings briefly surfaced above the red, they began to dive. A $310 million loss in 2021, a $1.3 billion loss in 2022, and all of it was deserved. Wayfair is still around today. After their collapse, they are gradually reducing their losses, though every year is still hundreds of millions down the drain. Their debt is still absurdly high too. They still have a good amount of cash on hand, but they need to make a return soon. And it's hard to say if they will now that they've broken customers' trust and with the recent decline in home improvement spending. Looks good online, trash in person became Wayfair's unofficial slogan. Unlike Wayfair, we want to be cherished by our viewers. If you've gotten any value from our videos, we would really appreciate a sub as we work towards 1 million. Wayfair had successfully trained an entire generation of furniture shoppers to associate their brand with disappointment, deception, and buyer's remorse. They'd turned their customers into their most effective marketing, and unfortunately, they were marketing against Wayfair. Wayfair tried to break all the rules to win the game, but it lost the hardest. And that seems to be a theme amongst these giant dropshipping brands. Glorified middlemen who scale as fast as possible, promising great value at cheap prices, but they aren't so keen on keeping up quality. Maybe paying a bit more for good furniture isn't so bad after all. Wish.com shares an even worse fate. Despite getting two $10 billion buyout offers, the website ended up shutting down. Check out this video to learn more, but until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.